the city, around, all around, from my other hand.
Our epistle lesson today comes from 2 Corinthians. I'm reading from the 12th chapter, verses 2 through 20. Listen for the word of our Lord. I know a person in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up in the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that such a person, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. Was caught up into paradise and heard things that are not to be told, that no mortal is permitted to repeat. On behalf of such a one, I will boast. But on my own behalf, I will not boast, except my weakness. But if I wish to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think better of me than what is seen in me or heard from me, even considering the exceptional character of the revelations. Therefore, to keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me, to keep me from being too elated. 3 times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong." Sisters and brothers, this is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Yes, we're having a little journey again still through 2 Corinthians. And Paul, and having a difficulty with the church there, something new and different, right? That's not anywhere else in the Bible. We don't hear that at all. We have heard him encourage the church there to fortify their faith, to feed it, to help it grow, to be strong. Because God is faithful, and that with a stronger faith, they will be able to be strengthened and be able to do the actions that God is calling them to do. That's an important part. We talked about several weeks ago about having our faith strong, so when we are called to something, we can be faithful in replying and understanding that God is going to be there to help us with this. And so forth, we can then all in the right time, we can accomplish what God has given. The Corinthians so long ago goes with us again today. We must bolster our faith so that when God calls to us, we have faith enough to go and do. And then Paul tells them that now is the right time to act. There are brothers and sisters in Israel who are starving and dying due to the fierce famine. And the church in Corinth promised a donation appropriate to their means. With the coming of Christ into their lives and the wonderful knowledge of God's love, it is time to give an acceptable gift. A gift, an act, that will not only save lives, but will strengthen the faith of those who are now in peril. And thus, the whole wheel of getting more and more faithful goes round and round. This acceptable gift should be given as the Corinthians can afford, as they remember the gift of salvation, the chance for life forever in God's kingdom. Having received God's forgiveness and the good news of their salvation, they should be sharing the wealth that God has given them, and in its appropriate gift at an appropriate time, by people who have been made by God to be there, ready to act. And today we get to this place where Paul's little anger with what has gone on and what is going on, their refusal to do anything, their dealing with false prophets and talking about that, has come to a head. And he directly addresses the issue of the false prophets that have come and turned the Corinthians to another gospel, to Gnosticism. A very different message than that which Paul taught them. It has come to the Corinthians by those who were self-proclaimed super apostles, people who have had a spiritual relationship with God that has and Jesus Christ, and it has lifted them up higher than other people in the teaching. They have been communing in this ethereal world, saying that Jesus was merely spirit, not ever body. This is they bought this. And the Corinthians are the greatest people in the world to tell this to. Because what they're telling them is we have special knowledge. Now, if we think the history of Greek, most of you understand this, that education and knowledge is big for the Greek. Many years. That was the big thing. That's Socrates, Plato, all those guys. They sat around and talked about getting wise all the time, debating over issues. Wisdom was a great quality to have in that culture. You were esteemed if you had great wisdom. And people loved that. And the second thing that the Corinthians had that most of the people in the world did not have was money. And I mean good money. You know, the isthmus that the city of Corinth is on is basically a small strip of land with a port on one side and a port on others. Goods and services coming from the Far East come to there and they unload. They are wagon trained, as it would be, across the little isthmus to the next port, and they would go to Rome. They figured it out a long time ago. You would think FedEx just decided all this stuff, how to get places from place to one place to the other. People knew how to do it as fast as possible, and how to make the most money. And the people in Corinth just happened to be right in the right spot at the right time. They were making a ton of money. Now, if you were ever around in the good old days of seafaring in the United States, let's say in Baltimore or Philadelphia, New York, Charleston, Savannah, all of these ports also brought an unseemly side of life to a very rich place, which is just putting that's like dropping pure germs into a bowl and handing it to someone to eat. Even as they gained money and knowledge, they were in a cesspool. And they were always looking for that cesspool to stay just like it was, because it was good for them. At least they thought it was. Paul comes along and says, no, this isn't how you're supposed to live. You're not all about yourself. It's not about what you have. You need to be doing something else. Now, we can look at this in two ways. We can say, oh, those dirty Corinthians, they were terrible back then. I'm glad God smote them all, I'm sure. On the other hand, how often do we place our value on things of money? The type of car we drive, the clothes we wear, how much is in our portfolio? Even better, what is my net worth? When can I retire and be the first to call my sisters and brothers and tell them, I'm retired because we have a lot of money. How about you? We're human, all of us. And too often we place our value into the values of the world, just like the Corinthians did so long ago. So someone comes in and says, hey, you know, we're really smart, and we can make you smarter. You can have more money. You can do all the things that you really want. They did exactly what we would do. They bit the apple pretty hard. And everything that Paul had told them about God, about Jesus, about what it meant to be a Christian, goes out the door. Because the people who came knew exactly what bait to throw in that water to fish them in. You can become a super apostle too if you give us good money, if you pay us enough. It's not anything that we are not used to hearing, not used to seeing, and yet people are often just very uncomfortable with 2 Corinthians because Paul gets a little mean. You are doing things that you shouldn't do. You are backing off of a promise that you made to God. You are now looking at the world as something you can control because of your wisdom and your money. You have forgotten everything that I taught you when I was there. Paul had told them, this is a free gift to you. And out of that free gift of Christ, you get melted into the body of the Lord. That you become one of those people who understands how life is supposed to be. And that how it's all happened because of this great and wonderful God. And God's own Son, Jesus of Nazareth. And they were filled with all sorts of, you know, like any new Christian, yes, let's go save the world, let's do it. And oh, the people in Israel are starving and they don't have enough to eat and they don't have enough water. It's a terrible drought. We'll make that donation. Paul moves on, still keeping in touch with them. And yet, they seem to have got swayed by the first people who came along and said, wait, I have a better view of Christ. You'll still be Christian because we say so. But you shouldn't do it like that. Now, in our country today, if you would care to, you can go online and look at people worshiping, quote unquote, and you can find the exact same thing probably 1,000 times being put in front of you. We need to be in a bigger building because we have the truth. We're telling everybody the right thing. That's why they're all here. And money is no object because they're giving us their money like crazy. That is not what God is about. It's not the size of the congregation. It's not the wealth of the congregation. It's how much we are willing to depend on God. That's what it comes down to. And Paul, for all of his harshness, all of his condemnation, he does get wordy a bunch of times. He is self-righteous in places. But he is absolutely spot on here in 2 Corinthians. In verses 6b through 10, he gives a stunningly short, powerful piece of information that should have made the Corinthians 2 millennia ago and us today. It should make us truly understand what God is giving to us, what God has given to us and still will give to us. It wipes away any fears that Paul is playing one-upmanship, trying to be the biggest power so that he could reign over the super apostles. He gives a succinct and powerful rebuttal to those who feel powerful, wise, and better than others. Listen. But I refrain from it, boasting, so that no one may think better of me than what is seen in me or heard from me, even considering the exceptional character of the revelations. Therefore, to keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from being too elated. He takes a bad thing and looks at it as a good thing when he looks at this through the eyes of God. This thorn that Satan gives, God uses to get Paul back in the right frame of mind. He goes on, he says, 3 times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would lead me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For power is made perfect in weakness. A great prayer and thought when we undergo hardship at any point in time. And then he delivers the coup de grace. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am content with the weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, He is strong. This is the gospel message. As we love Easter and we love to go, Christ is risen. Yes, He is. The real point of this, we celebrate at this table, is about the fact that God's wisdom is far beyond anything we know, and that true strength comes with tapping into God, which means that everything the world calls strengthened, strong, is not. It may be all opposite of that. Paul, who was a high person in the old Pharisee situation, he might have been the biggie guy in the temple one day, becomes a Christian, hated by his fellow Jews. He has been stoned, flogged, given up for dead in some places. And he understands totally that it is in my weakness that God's strength comes out and is there for the world to see. Christ went to the grave, dying a shameful death in the time, and became more powerful than we could even begin to understand by being resurrected. I pray this day that we will remember that the power is not about how smart we are, how many lectures we've given, how much money we've made, how great of an investor we are, how many dollars we've even given to people who need it. But that we will remember that we are humbly leaning on God and always looking for God's strength, not our own. Perhaps we should sing, "Yes, Jesus loves me," every morning, every noon, and every afternoon. He is strong. I am weak. Paul swats away every doubt by saying that what absolutely defeats everyone and anyone trying to boast in their power in God's kingdom, they are lying. If they're boasting of their power to do anything, run from them fast, quickly, and then hold your fingers in your ears while you do it. Only in God can we find what is seemingly weak, really powerful, before all understanding. Perhaps we should just sing that song. I give thanks to God, the Father, Son, and Spirit, that in His strength we can be saved. Amen.